Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will play our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. He will be on the show coming up in just a bit. Rob, I do want to get back to football things, and we'll talk about that in a bit, but I don't know if this came across your social media timeline. Did you know that 7 area Applebee's closed earlier today? They didn't give the workers any notice. They just told them, you're fired. You can get your last paycheck on this day. Thank you so much. But Applebee's is out of here. Now, I'm not sure how many Applebee's there are around the city, but I don't actually think there's that many. This is the question I want to ask you guys at 913-586-7965. What is the future of those kinds of restaurants in 2024? Because I know we joke about Red Lobster on this show, but Red Lobster was kind of one of those places that we all ate as a kid, and it feels like in a lot of ways we eventually grew up to eat at different places than those. Maybe Olive Garden was your place, Applebee's was your place, Chili's was your place, whatever it was. Like, we all kind of had these chain restaurants that we went to a lot as kids and with our family, and a lot of those restaurants are closing now. What does the future look like for these kind of restaurants in 2024? Is there a place for these kind of restaurants? Because we all like to go out to eat. We all like to spend our time with our family in these ways. It just seems like we are not going to be spending our time with our family at Applebee's anymore.
I think, to answer your question, I think they will continue to exist. But I think what happened is restaurants like that oversaturated the market. Carrington, pick a town in USA. You can envision what I am discussing. There is a place off the highway where you get off at exit mile marker blank, and you will drive down a road and you will see a street that has all the following restaurants: Applebee's, Perkins, IHOP, Chili's, Texas Roadhouse, Outback Steakhouse, whatever have you. You will see all of them down the exact same road. I can picture multiple stops, like when you're driving to the lake or when you're going out to, you know, Manhattan or something for a K-State game, where you stop in a town and that is what you see. Golden Corral, you see all of them down one block. That is too much. I think the Chili's, Applebee's, Red Lobster grouping oversaturated the market, and now people are choosing local and they're pushing out the chains. I still think there's a place for them, but they can't be every 3 or 4 mile markers. You see that same strip of here they all are again.
I mean, but we say that though, but a lot of the local restaurants that I would say were maybe more geared towards family, a lot of those seem to be closing down, and they all have the same reason for why they are closing down. Now, I know this isn't something that you have to think about, but you do have a family, maybe not a family in like you and your wife have 2 or 3 kids together, but you are part of a family. Where is a good place to eat that you and your family think you could eat for $30 to $40 a person? Because a lot of those restaurants are, I mean, Red Lobster was one of those, right? Red Lobster just went bankrupt. Applebee's was one of those places. 7 of those places just closed earlier today. Where is the place that if you want to take your 8-year-old kid who just had a good report card and you want to take your kid to go get something to eat, where is that restaurant that you could take them to? Because when you and I were kids, it felt like there were 15 of those kind of restaurants. Maybe you went to a buffet and you went to Old Country Buffet, or you went to Ryan's, or you went to one of those kind of places. Or maybe you went to a fancy place. So you went to Olive Garden or Red Lobster. What's that place now that people are taking their, you got a 12-year-old kid and you got an 8-year-old kid and you're not going to spend money for a high-end restaurant. You don't need to, but you want to take your family out for a nice meal. Where are you taking those people in 2024?
Has Fast Casual done it? Has Fast Casual pushed that out? Has your, I know it's not like what we and me and you think of like a nice meal, but like, has your Chipotle, McAllister's, Panera grouping, which is objectively cheaper than a Red Lobster, Chili's, but still you're out and it's more a restaurant feel, and you can reward your little one. Hey, you're going to get a kid's meal Chipotle this weekend because you got all A's. Congratulations. Has the Fast Casual wave pushed out for that family that says, hey, you did a great job, we want to go to dinner night? They're saying Steak and Shake more so than they're saying, you know, Outback Steakhouse.
And I would say, though, that that's sad. And
I don't disagree, but
I would say I love Chipotle. Chipotle has plastic forks. Like, part of how you learned etiquette and how you prepared yourself for adulthood and sitting down and having these meals was you went to a place for a nice sit-down meal where you had a waiter and you learned about these things. Like, that was an important part of our development as kids, even if we didn't think about it in that way. That's not the experience that you're getting from Chipotle. Chipotle is, I don't want to cook, but I want something. It's quick. It's easy. You grab it and go. That's not, to me, the purpose that we got or the benefits that we got from going to Applebee's or Red Lobster, that is not the same purpose that I think you're getting from Chipotle. I just saw this story and I thought it was interesting. If you guys missed it, there were 7 Applebee's around the city that closed today. I'm not sure how many Applebee's there still are, but if they close 7 of them today, and this is not just the Applebee's issue, Hooters, the one up on Berry Road, just closed down. I think the other one, there's another one that closed down recently. A lot of these kind of national chain restaurants that were in between. It's not a fancy restaurant, but it's also not fast casual. It was a decent sit down. You go in there, you wait your 20 minutes. Somebody comes out there, you sit down, you tip, you do all of those kind of things. A lot of those restaurants that we grew up with, they are starting to close down. Coming up in a bit, we'll be joined by Patrick Mahomes, quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Rob, there are two things that I'm tired of already. Number one is the undefeated conversation. I told you I am not entertaining the undefeated conversation. The second thing I am tired of is, why do we keep having this conversation about Baltimore? Baltimore is a good team. They really are a good team. They're going to win double-digit games. They're going to win their division. They're going to win a playoff game. Baltimore is a good team. But we always got to take it one step too far. You have a friend that you and him can joke back and forth, but he always takes the joke just a little bit too far, where it's like the needle has to skip every time. Oh, whoa, 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 hold on. We were just kidding around here. We were just joking. You took the joke too far. That is how we treat the Baltimore Ravens every single time. Here's Ryan Clark. He was on First Take. Listen to this nonsense.
I'm picking the Ravens as the scarier team. Because right now, if you take away history, right, and you take away the things that we knew before 2024, Lamar Jackson is the best player alive, right? The best player living is Lamar Jackson. This is the year that Lamar Jackson becomes the champion. This is the year
Didn't we say that last year, RC?
They were positioned last year to do it.
But here's the other piece of it is, too, though. Last year, the defense was better, right? The defense was better last year, and Lamar started to play great toward the end of the season. He wasn't this animal. Lamar wasn't the animal that every time I watched him walk on the field right now, I know what it's going to be. Lamar Jackson ain't got to win 3 in 1 year. He just has to win 1. And when I watch this team right now, if I'm preparing to play either one of these teams, I'm more comfortable that I'm going to be in the game with Kansas City and I got to just find a way to win at the end than I am walking into Baltimore knowing that they might blow my doors off because I can't stop them.
What are we talking about? If the argument that Ryan Clark is making is that the Ravens are more likely to blow you out than the Chiefs, sure. I'll concede that point, right? That's okay. That's fine. But who's more likely to win the game? Just win. Is it the team that has lost 3 times already this year or the team that hasn't lost? I don't understand why we're doing this with the Ravens. Maybe this is just a product of everybody can't have the same opinion on these shows. Everybody's opinion. You can't just go on there, but man, the Chiefs are really good. We know. Yeah. So now it feels like we try to come up with different angles and different. How can your answer be that the Ravens are a scarier team to play late in the season than the Chiefs? How can that be your argument? What is it based on? Point differential? That's what we're basing this conversation on? It's goofy is what it is. It's silly. I'm not just saying that because I'm in Kansas City. I also watch these games. Again, Baltimore is a good team. It's like when your boy kind of like hypes a girl up and like, bro, she bad. And then you see her and you kind of are disappointed, not because she's not pretty, because you hyped her up like she was J-Lo. I mean, she cute, but she ain't Jennifer Lopez. That's kind of what I think we do to the Ravens. The Ravens are attractive, but you're sitting here trying to tell me she should win Miss America. She's not that fine. Now you feel like you hating on her when you don't need to be hating on her. But you're only doing that because your boys set her up. We set the Ravens up to do this. We set them up to disappoint us because you're putting them on a pedestal that they have never, ever reached on the field. They reach all of these goals hypothetically. Well, if, maybe, but the Chiefs are actually doing it. The Chiefs are actually winning these games. The Chiefs are actually playing for championships, winning in championships. The Chiefs aren't out here losing games to Cleveland at home and losing games to the Reds. They're not doing that nonsense the way that they are. They're 22-6 over their last 28 games. And we're sitting here talking about the Ravens being a scary over two team. It makes no sense to me. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. That's next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. With Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. He's the best quarterback in the NFL. He's taken your Chiefs to the mountaintop three different times.
Mahomes. Moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City.
And he sits down with one show across the entire country for an exclusive one-on-one interview. Your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Here's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes on The Drive.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Very happy to play for you our conversation with Patrick Mahomes. He joins us each week. Usually it is on Tuesday. It kind of got pushed back this week because the Chiefs play on Monday Night Football. It's perfectly fine. We are happy to have him on. Yesterday was a special day for Patrick Mahomes. He and the 15 of the Mahomies, they have their yearly gala where they raise a lot of money and they give the money to charity. Our conversation starts with, how did it go?
It went great, man. It's always great to see all the support that we have in the community here for Kansas City, and it was the biggest one we've had yet, and it just keeps getting bigger, and it really is truly remarkable to see that everybody wants to come out and support, not only me, but the community and everybody that I work with, so it was a lot of fun.
We obviously know a lot of your on-the-field goals. What is a charity goal that you have? I got a chance to go to Indianapolis, and Peyton Manning has a children's hospital in Indianapolis. You have the ability to do very similar things here in Kansas City. What are some charity goals that you have?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have, like, an ultimate goal of where I want it to end up at. I just want to keep growing it and just keep impacting kids from underserved communities and kids that just want to follow their dreams. And if I can keep doing that, then I think I will be happy with whatever the end goal ends up becoming.
You've built the park that's pretty close to the plaza. Now that Sterling and your little ones are getting old enough, have you had a chance to take them down there so they could play at the park?
Yeah, they've been able to play at the park. They enjoyed it. The hope is that I can keep doing stuff like that throughout the community. I mean, not only parks, but I've partnered with the Boys and Girls Club now, and we're going to try to help upgrade and keep those facilities at top-tier stuff. And so as long as we can keep improving stuff for kids to have the ability to go out there and follow their dreams and have fun and meet people and have new friends, I think that would be really cool to do.
You mentioned it a little bit about the growth you've seen in your charity over the years. How cool is it to see that community buy-in? It's not just your teammates. It's the community that has really come out to support your charity as well.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, that's the special thing about Kansas City is people care about each other and they want to improve everyone's lives. And so I think I went from like 407 people last year to almost 900 people this year. And so it just shows that this thing is growing, and it's not about just me. It's about the city of Kansas City and how special a place it is.
Right now we're talking to Patrick Mahomes here for a few minutes. You mentioned growth. We have seen Chiefs fans go to opposing venues and sort of take it over. I don't think we've seen anything like we just saw on Sunday. It felt like a college coming to take over another team's home venue. It looked like it was 70-30, maybe 80-20 inside Allegiant Stadium on Sunday.
No, it was really cool to see. I mean, all that red in the away stadium. I mean, the Chiefs fans always travel well, but I think it was even more this last week. And so hopefully we can keep doing that. Obviously, we got the next two games at home. But as we keep traveling to other away stadiums, I hope the Chiefs Kingdom keeps traveling like that because it definitely gives us an advantage.
A lot of people want your thoughts, I guess, on the trade of DeAndre Hopkins. It happened right after the last time that you and I got to speak. How rewarding is it? How exciting is it that you guys finally got him? You guys have kind of flirted with DeAndre Hopkins. You brought him in for a visit a couple years ago, and this time the deal came together.
Yeah, no, it's really cool. I mean, obviously a great football player, but I've built a great relationship with him, and he sees the football game. He sees the game of football a lot like I do, and you saw that in the little bit of opportunities that he got throughout the game this last game. And so I think as we continue to get him more and more involved in the offense, you're going to see how special of a football player he is. And he came here to win, and hopefully we can continue to do that. And he definitely has a good knack for getting open, which is going to help everybody on the football team.
You've communicated the respect that you have for him. How great is it that this is a guy that has never played with you before? I'm not sure what run-ins you guys had before him joining the team, but you can hear it in his voice that he has a great respect for you and what you guys as a team have been able to accomplish over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great football player, and I think when you get guys that have played a lot of great football in their career, they want to continue to go for that next challenge, and for him it's to win the Super Bowl, and that's everybody's goal at the end of the day whenever you play the game of football. And so I think he's excited to be here. I think if you watch the tape, he got open a lot this last week. I think seeing that on tape is going to give me the confidence to give him more and more opportunities to go out there and make plays.
A lot of conversation has been made about Andy's offense and how difficult it is to kind of learn on the fly. How difficult do you think it will be to kind of get him adjusted and get him acclimated into the offense in the middle of the season?
I mean, if it's anything like last week, I think it's gonna be easy for him. I mean, he's a very smart guy. He has a good understanding. He's played in multiple different offenses with multiple different quarterbacks, so he has a good understanding of how to just get himself open and be in the right spot. And I mean, we actually, I think last week we were even surprised by how fast he was picking up stuff. And so, with a whole other week and an extra day, I think he's gonna be fine to go out there and get a full amount of work in order to be a big part of this offense.
Patrick, certainly correct me if I'm wrong, but I just can't think of you guys having too many receivers like DeAndre Hopkins, a little bit bigger, more of a contested catch guy. Normally you guys like the, 6'1", wiry, kind of speedy guys, and that's not what he is. Is this a different receiver than you're kind of accustomed throwing to, or is there a comparison that you have?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a different receiver. I mean, he's kind of a one-of-one receiver when it comes to being able to catch the jump ball, being able to get himself open in space. Be able to be one-on-one coverage. I mean, he's there's a reason that he's got all those all pros, and he's always been a great receiver. But I mean, he has a little bit of this kind of a mixture of a lot of guys that we have. I mean, Sammy Watkins, Juju. He's got the ability to win one-on-one like some other receivers that we had. I mean, it's hard to describe one guy because he's one of those type of receivers that only comes around once in a generation.
I saw that some of the other receivers were calling him Unc. I'm curious, how many more years in the league do you think it's going to be before there's going to be some young receiver that the Chiefs get and they're going to start calling you Unc?
It's not going to be many more. I mean, I'm still not very old. I mean, I'm only 29, but this is my eighth year in the NFL. So, I mean, a lot of these guys were in middle school or even low high school whenever I got in the NFL. So they've been seeing me play for a long time. So as the years go on here soon, they're gonna be calling me Unc for sure.
I've got a couple of Halloween questions to ask you. Are you more of a Scream person or a Saw guy?
I'm more Scream. I'm not a big scary movie person at all in general, but I would probably say Scream.
Let's say that you got cast in a scary movie. Maybe you wouldn't even agree to do it, but let's say you got cast. How confident are you that you would make it to the end of the movie?
I'm pretty confident because I think just in general I have a good self-awareness and knowing where I'm at. But definitely, I don't know if I would win, but I would definitely make it the longest. But I feel like they're going to come get me, man. They're going to take me out. They know I'm going to be the guy that's leading us the right way.
Which one of you do you think would last longer in the movie, you or Travis? Because you've seen enough scary movies to know you can't have two athletes make it to the end of the movie. Somebody's not going to make it the long way. Who makes it the longest?
It's going to be 1,000% me because I'm going to be the one thinking. Trav's going to be the one that's just relying on instincts, and that's always how you get caught by yourself where the guy, the villain or whatever can go get you.
Yeah, Travis seems like the one that he would make the suggestion to split up, and you can never split up in these movies.
He's going to make the suggestion to split up. He's going to be like, let's go back in the house. I think if we go back in the house, we're going to be good. You know, Travis, man, he thinks on his feet, but sometimes it gets you in trouble.
All right, I have five candies I want to get your opinion on. I picked some of the, I don't want to say obscure candies, but maybe not the most popular candies. Let's start with Butterfinger. What's your verdict on Butterfinger?
They're all right.
Kit Kat?
I actually love Kit Kats. It's like one of my probably different candies I like than most people.
We actually had a guest on this week, or he said that Kit Kat was the best chocolate-based candy, so we have a one-week suspension where that he can't come on the show next week.
I don't know if it's the best chocolate-based, but I am a fan of the Kit Kat every now and then. It kind of throws a little change-up on your whole candy repertoire.
All right, Mike and Ike's.
I'm not a big fan of those, no.
All right, how about Hot Tamales?
Not a big fan of Hot Tamales either.
All right, Twizzlers.
I can eat a Twizzler, but it's not like that's my go-to. If it's around, I'll grab one.
Do you like Twizzler Pull and Peel? I actually like Pull and Peel more than I like the original Twizzlers.
I probably would say Pull and Peel is a little bit better.
All right, where are you at with the Nerd Gummies? Have you had these new Nerd Gummies?
Yeah, we had them. They had them in training camp. I mean, I definitely got a couple of them. They're pretty good. I mean, I'm not the biggest candy guy myself, but I have a couple candies that I just like, and I'll eat those. But I'm more of like a chocolate chip cookie type guy, like if I'm going for any type of like dessert type food.
All right, last one is Sweet Tarts. What's your verdict on Sweet Tarts?
I used to love them when I was young. My dad loved them, so I would eat them a lot when I was young. So I would say they're pretty up there for me. But I haven't had them in a while, actually, now that you say it.
Last couple questions here, Patrick, and I appreciate your time. I'm actually curious to get your opinion on this. You are somebody who your opinion, your voice matters. As you've sort of matured in your career, how do you make the determination of things that you want to speak up on?
I think it's just stuff that I feel like at that moment in time is something that I believe I need to speak up and use my platform. But I mean, it's such a hard thing to decide and make those choices, because it's not going to only impact you, but your family as well and everyone that's around you. So you have to kind of weigh all those decisions and then decide if it's the right time to make your voice known.
You obviously know the climate that we're in, and athletes are speaking up just almost every day. Do you ever feel a pressure to speak up? Do you ever feel like an outside force that people are sort of looking for you to give your thoughts on certain things?
I don't know if it's necessarily a pressure. I mean, I understand the platform that I have, and I understand if I wanted to or not, what I say is gonna kind of be out there for everyone to see, and it could impact other people and how they think. But I think my goal is just to try to be the best person that I can be at the end of the day. And even though it might not be 100% with everybody and what they agree, I'm going to try to do whatever I can to make a positive impact in the world at the end of the day.
What are your Halloween plans?
Sterling really wanted to be a flamingo. So we have a whole type of flamingo and zoo animals type thing going on. That's our favorite animal, I guess. I guess a flamingo is an animal. And so we're doing that, and we'll go around trick-or-treating a little bit and hopefully get a lot of good candy and not let Sterling and Bronze eat too much of it.
You've accomplished a lot of great challenges in your career. Making sure that your young daughter doesn't eat a lot of candy on Halloween, that might be your toughest feat.
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be my son. My son, like, I don't know how he can just, like, sense it. Even if he hasn't had any type of sweet before, the moment he, like, smells it, he's like, I like that. So I got to try to keep him from getting all the candies and the desserts and whatever he gets for Halloween.
Well, I think we learned that you are not going to be giving Bronze any Mike and Ikes this year. That is Patrick Mahomes joining us on the show today as we get you ready for Monday Night Football. Patrick, man, great stuff, man. I appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. That is a quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. We catch up with him every week. If you missed any part of that conversation, be sure to check it out on the podcast page, 96.5thefan.com. So this I just saw while I was playing the interview for you guys. I'd be very curious to see what you guys think about this. 913-586-7965. The owners of the KC Current, also Patrick Mahomes and Brittany Mahomes, they have made a bid to become the 16th franchise in the WNBA. The WNBA, they have already announced two new cities that they want to expand to, and the owners of the Current are interested in bringing a WNBA franchise to Kansas City. Rob, you and I talked about this a little bit last week, but I think it has certainly become now more concrete now that Patrick Mahomes, Brittany Mahomes, and the other owners of KC Current have also put their name to it and put in a bid to try to be one of those franchises. You would have to think that Kansas City would now be in a very serious running. They have a bid, and they also have a bid from one of the more recognizable American athletes and also a group of people that have made women's sports work in a city before, right? Like, There's already the infrastructure there. If you have questions on whether or not a WNBA team will work in a certain city, that is a fair question to have in other cities around the country. I don't know if that's a fair question to ask about Kansas City because we are currently seeing women's soccer work in Kansas City. Now, I'd be curious to see if they have plans to build a stadium the same way that they had plans to build a soccer stadium. So I will be curious to hear about the infrastructure in place. Are they going to put a stadium down there right across the street from the KC Current and really try to make this one of the more progressive sports areas in the country? But pretty interesting information that's just come out in the last 10 minutes that all of the money people involved with the KC Current, they have now put a bid in for the WNBA. I do not think an NBA team would work in Kansas City. I actually think a WNBA team could work here. I think it could work. I think there's some questions about where the team would play and where would the stadium be and sort of the infrastructure associated, because I don't think they would play at T-Mobile Center. I just think the venue is too big. But this is pretty interesting now that the current owners have decided to put a bid in to try to bring a WNBA team to town.
I mean, the million-dollar, maybe multi-million-dollar question is, where are they putting the stadium? And because one of the things that that same ownership group did, which is a massive positive for the city and for the current and for all the things, one of the first things they did when they took ownership of the current was they went to work on getting a stadium done. Now, they didn't, you know, ask for an extension of a sales tax. They got it done largely on their own, but they went out, they got the current, they played for a year at Community America Ballpark, or what now is Legends Ballpark, played for a year at Sporting Park, and then, boom, world's first women's soccer-specific stadium opened up. If they get the WNBA franchise, you would imagine the same thought process is going through their head. Hey, we're not getting this to play in front of, you know, empty seats at T-Mobile Center. We're not getting this franchise to play in a podunk arena like Municipal. You got to figure if they are putting in to get a franchise, they at least as a ownership group have talked about an arena, because you and I both know the arena is the next step. And if they have a location, a thought process, whatever, for an arena, that is huge, 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 huge for the growth of the city.
Yeah, text line 913-586-7965. My only concern, are we supporting the current because it's women's sports, or are we, or is it working because KC is one of the biggest supporters of all things soccer? I don't have a definitive answer to that. I'm just not a huge soccer fan in that way. I think the answer, honestly, is both, right? I think the answer is both. I think it is very safe to say that we are in the middle of a revolution in the ways that people view women's sports. It's not cool to make fun of women's sports the way that it was maybe 5, 10, 15 years ago. There is definitely becoming a shift. And as there are more stars currently in the WNBA than there were before, there are more stars in women's college basketball. You would have to think that if you are interested in putting your money into women's basketball, isn't now the perfect time to do so? Like, I'm seeing the text line here. T-Mobile is the place. The Caitlin Clark effect will draw 10,000 people a night. Caitlin Clark doesn't play on every team in the WNBA. The WNBA franchise in Kansas City is not getting 10,000 people out there every single night. Not even close. Someone else says they would play in T-Mobile. No, they wouldn't. If they get a WNBA team, that team is not prepared in year one to go play at the T-Mobile Center. And that's perfectly fine. That's not really the case for any WNBA team right now in the WNBA. That's not a case for any of them. The Las Vegas Aces, maybe the most popular team, I guess, outside of Caitlin Clark, they play in Mandalay Bay in a 4,000-seat arena. To me, you are setting the WNBA up to fail if you are not either building them their own stadium that you can then use for youth tournaments and that can be part of the circuit, or they are going to play at Independence Event Center for a couple of years until they do it. So if they ever came to me and asked for what my opinion is, I would suggest you either play at Independence Event Center until you can kind of get the funding, get the space, build a stadium for the team, but you got to be focused on building a 3,000 to 4,000 seat arena that makes it feel like something. You get good crowds out there, you get good energy, and then for the open dates, you use it for high school basketball. Use it for high school basketball.
It's not exactly, but in what you've described, what that same ownership group just did with CPKC Stadium, like, The current stadium has a tenant for the current games. They play from March basically to November. Mm-hmm. I know this year they have the final at their stadium in December, but that's a rotating entity. It's like the Super Bowl. Outside of that, it is used for things like right now, the Big 12 tournament for women's soccer being played down there. I'm betting there will be concerts and other things as time goes on down there and growth in that area develops. It is going to be more than just women's soccer. What you're describing is what they've already done. Hey, build the stadium, make the anchor tenant the women's sports team, but also use it for other things. And an arena has more 24/7, 365 usage dates than an outdoor stadium in Kansas City does. So it would stun me if the ownership group of KC Current doesn't believe exactly what you're saying. Hey, we know what attendance looks like in the WNBA. Maybe they'll build a stadium bigger than what you're talking about if they decide to build because they think the WNBA is on the uptick, and maybe they build closer to 10,000 or 9,000. But they definitely, if they are building a stadium, have thoughts in mind beyond just the WNBA franchise playing 30 games a year there.
Yeah, I'd be really curious to kind of hear how this develops. But, I mean, if you are the WNBA and it is clear that they are looking to expand to two more franchises, Kansas City seems like a very, very viable place. Loves sports, supports women's sports, and you also can, you'll have Patrick Mahomes be one of your biggest allies here where you have him come out, he does his photo appearances, he sits courtside, he's a big fan of it. That would make a lot of sense for a league that is starting to grow. This is a really pivotal time for the WNBA. They just renegotiated their television contracts. Their players are holding out right now for a better CBA. It feels like we are at the middle of, I think, the WNBA becoming a little bit more mainstream. It's never going to be some of the other sports that we watch. I don't think it needs to be some of those other sports, but we have definitely seen a revolution in women's basketball over the course of the last 18 months. That now is the right time. If you were thinking about investing and buying into women's sports, now is the time to do it if you're somebody like Patrick Mahomes. Coming up on the other side, we are going to go through every team in the National Football League. We have already gone through both of the South divisions in the AFC and the NFC. Coming up on the other side, we'll keep that train rolling. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
You know what? I've decided to call an audible. I'm sorry. You won't hear my thoughts on the Dallas Cowboys and the Buffalo Bills. Maybe we'll get to it, maybe we won't, but I've made an executive decision to call an audible here. 913-586-7965. Rob, I don't know if this has become a hot take, but a majority of us, we're men here, right? We can have this conversation. One of the best times on Instagram is right now. I love seeing all the Halloween costumes. Big fan of it. You know what, Rob? I think if we did a number one overall pick, if we did a draft for Halloween costumes, you want to know which Halloween costume that I think has moved up to the number one overall pick? You want to know which one I think has become the best? I think it's Velma from Scooby-Doo. I think Velma from Scooby-Doo has become a very, very solid Halloween costume. Think about when you're scrolling on Facebook and you're scrolling on Instagram. The shooting percentage when the gals dress up as Velma is 96%. 96% from the field. I would have never had guessed this. You would think that the Daphne would go. The Daphne doesn't go the same. I think Velma is moving up into the elite Halloween costume items. Every person on your timeline that decides to be Velma, shooting an incredibly high percentage. It might be the number one overall pick. We've seen the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders outfit. It doesn't excite me anymore the way that it used to. I've seen the nurse costume now. It doesn't do anything for me anymore. Show me your personality. Show me your creativity. Be Velma from Scooby-Doo.
Is Velma from Scooby-Doo showing off the creativity?
Yes.
Is Scooby-Doo even still in the air? You're telling me right now. And college, we both know, college is a bigger deal on a Halloween is a bigger deal on a college campus than it is as adults.
I don't know if that's the case on Instagram. I hear what you're saying, but you and I are on the same Instagram.
Instagram clout and actually doing it are very different.
Okay, but I'm saying is I'm not going to your Halloween party. I don't feel like I need to because I've seen Halloween. It's on my phone. I get those 3-4 days of Halloween. Someone said, CDOT, my favorite is Harley Quinn. I'm going to tell you this. I don't want any young lady that has decided to be Harley Quinn for Halloween. That's not the kind of young ladies that I'm into. If that's the kind of girls that you're into, that's fine. We all are allowed our own choices. I don't want the young lady that decided to be Harley Quinn. That problems is what it is. It's problems. You know she's a little bit crazy if she decided to be the Harley Quinn. So no, keep the Harley Quinn girls away from me from Halloween. I don't want anything to do with them. Nothing.
The most popular one I've seen, like, I've seen a lot of people dressing up this way, is the mom from The Incredibles.
That's not a bad one.
I mean, it's
not a bad one. I can live with that.
It kind of falls in the same category for me as Velma. Like, that movie came out 20 years ago. Like, how is it just now in the zeitgeist? I don't understand that. But that is a popular outfit this year. Again, I think that one's probably more popular on your college campus than Velma is, because then you can have other members of The Incredibles, the whole deal. I think the mom from The Incredibles is a popular pick.
Okay, I'm just throwing that out there. Text line 913-586-7965. I just want you guys to just give me your opinion. What do you think the number one overall pick is? Because there was a time that Dallas Cowboy cheerleader was the number one overall pick. I think it's kind of moved on a little bit. I think it's turned into Velma. I think it's turned in to Velma from Scooby-Doo. I think she's become the number one overall pick. If you could pull off the Velma costume, she's probably a baddie. I can't believe the Harley Quinn. I bet that's... Rob, Harley Quinn? Can you imagine if your wife came home and you were like, hey, what do you want to be? And then you were just like, oh, she's like, I want to be Harley Quinn. You'd have some serious questions.
Can I ask her questions if it makes me now nerdy? Which version of Harley Quinn?
Okay.
Because there are some in the comics and on, like, movies and screen that I could see Harley Quinn being a popular pick. Dressing up as Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn is probably different than dressing up as Lady Gaga's Harley Quinn. There are levels to this.
If you saw that movie, The Joker 2, and that's the character that you want to be, I really don't want to be around you. I really don't want to be around you. If you saw the sequel to Joker 2 and you now want to be Harley Quinn, I don't want anything to do with you. You're even crazier. You enjoyed that movie? No. No.
I mean,
I can't do it.
If you are talking to someone who is like, you know what movie I saw? Not enjoyed, but just saw. You might have an issue. You know what? I went and spent American currency to see, was it Folie à Deux, the Joker story? You should walk away from that person immediately. They don't understand finances, and they are going to bankrupt you one day.
Someone said, what about the police officer costume? I don't dislike the police officer costume.
Played out.
Yeah, you just don't have any creativity. You don't have any creativity.
But if someone
Halloween is the time for your girl to get the fits off on the gram. That's the time. It's the time for you to get the fits off. That's the time for me to, I really want to see your personality. You know what I think if you are the cop? I think you just went down to Spirit Halloween. You just got the little $30, $40 costume. You didn't put a lot of effort into it. You didn't put any effort into it. You have no creativity. None. No. The cops played out. The nurses played out. We don't want those costumes anymore. Give me a little something. Give me a little flair. Give me something.
Someone informs me, and I didn't know this, that the Incredibles are a Fortnite skin. That's why the mom is back in the zeitgeist.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. You play Fortnite?
Apparently one of our texters does, because they texted in the show and told us that, because I don't play Fortnite. I play one game. It's NCAA college football, and that is the extent of my gaming now.
Okay. I was asking. I didn't know. I'm here to ask questions. Someone said, what about Tina from Bob's Burgers? That's lost on me. Is that the one from The Gift that's doing that weird dance? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what The Gift is.
You know the one I'm talking about. I'll show it to you.
Like The Gif or the, what do you,
The Gif.
Yeah, where she has the glasses,
yeah,
and the bowl
she's
cut.
Like,
yeah.
Popping it. I don't know.
That is exactly who, that's Tina.
Okay, my bad. Somebody said, what about the Tomb Raider costumes? I will support a young lady that can pull off the Laura Croft costume. That's a good one.
Yeah, but she's at an indoor party. She's not out and about because it's supposed to be cold out.
Somebody said, what if they dress up as the Grinch? Bro, what's going on? All right, never mind. Why did I? You know what? We should have talked about the Eagles. That's my fault here. We should have talked about the Giants here. That's what we had plans to do.
Before the segment, I was like, hey, we'll do the NFC East here. Got it. I got a great audible. And yeah. Look what you did.
Talk about Velma. I know. Shout out to Velma.
Now the text line wants to talk about Dolly Parton. Shout you have created Velma. A monster.
Shout out to Velma. What do you think is the kid? Do the kids have a Scooby-Doo now? Or is that time in cartoons
Paw
just
Patrol.
Over?
And now a Paw Patrol is? I don't know what Paw Patrol is, but that's my assumption. People I have, friends of mine who have kids can't stop talking about Paw Patrol because all their kids watch.
Paw Patrol is very popular. Bluey's very popular with the youngins too. I just didn't know if the kids have a Scooby-Doo. Do they have a Jetsons and a Flintstones the way that we had?
No chance they
have a
Jetsons.
They got a Scooby-Doo?
They definitely don't have a Jetsons.
Okay, I just didn't know.
Were you a Jetsons kid? The Jetsons never moved me.
I like the Flintstones more than I like the Jetsons. But I did like those cartoons though.
I liked the Jetsons song.
Were you at Nickelodeon or a Cartoon Network?
Nickelodeon.
Okay. I didn't know. Someone said, what about the Britney Spears VMA outfit? Now, I don't know. You got an elite gal if you think she can pull that off for Halloween. You gotta be a certain caliber of young lady to be able to pull off that Britney Spears VMA outfit. That's I don't know. Not everybody's able. Not everybody's able to be able to do that. All right. I'm happy we had this conversation, fellas. This was fun. This was enjoyable. We'll bring this back next year. We'll see what has moved to the number one overall pick because currently Velma has the number one overall pick. All right, coming out on the other side, you know what we're going to talk about? Let's talk about D-Hop. All of the stats are out from Sunday's game. Let's tell you how much he played and where the growth could potentially be from the newest Chiefs wide receiver. That's coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.